Hi, this is Alison from Sanctuary. I'm reflecting on a story where Jesus heals 10 lepers, and you can find it in Luke chapter 17. When I was 14, our family moved to Washington, D.C. I'll never forget the day we arrived. We drove downtown and huddled over heating vents and resting in roundabouts and set up in city squares were tents. That is, tents and tarpaulins, refrigerator boxes and flapping plastic sheets. "What's happening?" I asked. "I mean, what's with all the tents?" I had never seen a homeless person before, and I didn't understand that this was how many people live. And I never became accustomed to it, that in the capital city of the richest country in the world, thousands of people live on the streets. But I did learn self-protection. And that meant learning not to look. Ignoring the man defecating on the pavement. Letting my eyes slide past the face of the woman shaking a coin cup. Holding my breath at the wretch making stench as I walk past one encampment and then another. It's into a world such as this that Jesus comes. 10 lepers are wandering the borderlands between Samaria and Galilee. 10 invisible people. 10 human beings relegated to nothingness. According to custom, they must live apart from everyone else. They must keep their distance, wear torn clothes and have messy hair, and call a warning to anyone who comes near. Unclean, unclean. As if anyone needs a warning. No one looks at these people. Nobody even comes close. Well, except Jesus. Jesus sees them and he doesn't avert his eyes. He sees them and he draws near and he offers them a gift. "Go and show yourselves to the priests," he says. And in that suggestion is the promise of a cure. So they head off and as they go, they are made clean. That is, their skin is healed. They can be certified as clean and they can re-engage with society. They can go back to their families and back to their workplace, back to the marketplace, back to religious gatherings and festivals, back to everything which gives them a sense of identity and belonging. And that's exactly what 9 of them did. And no doubt this led to their greater happiness and resilience and better sleep and all that good stuff. But when they re-entered society, they again became part of the problem. They became part of a world which forces people who threaten the norm to the margins. It's hard for us to get this, but today perhaps we might think of people who live in dire poverty, people who are homeless or who seek asylum, or who suffer from severe mental illness, or perhaps they align themselves with the LGBTIQA+ community. People who are not always granted full access to employment or wealth or social systems. People who are often blamed for their own exclusion and made scapegoats for our society's fears and failings. 9 people went back to this world of insiders and outsiders and scapegoats. The 10th was different. He never went to the priests. Instead, when he saw that he was clean, he turned back to Jesus. In Greek, this word turn back echoes a word for conversion or turning around. And as this man turned back to Jesus, he shouted praise to God at the top of his voice. And then he fell flat on his face at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And Jesus tells him that this turning and praising and thanking were all signs of the faith which made him whole. Most of us here are straight, white and middle class. Sure, some of us experience some shunning and invisibility as women in our professions, but for the most part we are fundamentally acceptable to our society. People don't avert their eyes when they see us in the street. We're the clean ones. We're the helpers. We model ourselves on Jesus. We assume we can walk into any church and they'd be lucky to have us. Religious and community groups are wide open to us, and our experience of social barriers and social shunning is next to non-existent. The Samaritan, on the other hand, was a nobody. He was shunned as a leper, and he was shunned as a Samaritan. In other words, he was shunned as a human being. No doors were open to him, but Jesus searched him out and offered him a path back to communal life. And I suspect it's hard for us to inhabit what this feels like, because communal life has never been really closed to us. And if it's hard for us to inhabit what this feels like, then it's probably very hard for us to know the power of praise and thanksgiving that wells up in this man and turns him back to Jesus. It seems to me that real gratitude, the kind of gratitude which loosens people's tongues and leads them to shout praises to God and to throw themselves down at Jesus' feet, the gratitude which leads to wholeness, arises out of desperation. So if we let this story touch only the surface of our straight, white, middle class and complacent lives, we will miss out. But if we let this story touch our dark and dangerous depths, then it can do some good work. For there it will reach all that we keep hidden, our desires and our histories which wound us and damage us and make us feel unfit for human society. The scars from abuse, the struggles with mental illness, the harsh voices from our past, the violence we show to our partners and children, the lack of love that we show to ourselves, the leprous, scaly, scabby nastiness with which we congratulate ourselves for our comfortable lives and blame victims for their suffering and turn away from people in need. And it's these parts of ourselves which we need to own and which we need to open up to this story. For it's these parts of our lives which Jesus offers to heal. And when Jesus heals these things, we have a choice. We can use it as a nice gloss on our comfortable lives and go back to cultural captivity and ordinary life. Or we can be like the Samaritan and become part of a new social order brought about by Jesus Christ. In this social order, all people, lepers and Samaritans and gay men and trans women, asylum seekers, single mums, homeless blokes and scared 14-year-old girls who avoid them, all people are gathered up in their brokenness and are known and forgiven and loved. And in humbling ourselves, turning to Jesus, praising God and uniting with this new community, we too may be made truly, deeply whole. So why not be like the Samaritan? Why not recognize and name your brokenness, your sinfulness and your wounds, and all the ways you benefit from and participate in our toxic society? Why not admit how you hide your vulnerability and shore up your defenses even as you turn away from others' suffering and pain? Why not confess, repent, turn back? For as you follow the way of Jesus Christ, who loves the unlovable and touches the untouchable and accepts the unacceptable, even in you, you'll be flooded with gratitude. For in turning to Jesus, you really will be transformed. In him, you will find abundant life and future hope and a deep and abiding healing. And when you have experienced this and thanked him, you can get up and be on your way. Your faith will have saved you and made you whole. It will be time to get on with your life, a life now shaped in his image and lived in communion with his people, a life overflowing with goodness and mercy and freedom and joy. Amen.